Welcome to episode 27 of the Duluth Rundown, our interview portion. We're about to get going with Chris Rubesch here, but first a message from our sponsor, Austin Jaro. Austin Jaro is Duluth's original running store. Go there if you need anything running-wise, shoes, socks, running clothes, running food, most of all the expertise that the staff can offer. That's awesome. So you can check them out up by the mall area in Duluth, 917 West Central Entrance. Give them a ring, 218-722-1185. Or check them out online, austin-jaro.com. And big thanks to our sponsor, Austin Jaro.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us here for the interview section. And our interviewee today is Chris Rubesch, a local runner. I don't even know if I want to, I guess trail runner, but he does everything. And we're going to get into a little bit of that later on. Chris, thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be joining you.
So, Chris, I want to start off, as I just mentioned, you know, when I think of Chris Rubesch, I think of trails. I think of maybe some ultras, but specifically trails. But then you really start to think about Chris Rubesch's like athletic endeavors, and you realize, holy cow, the guy's fast on the roads. A road 5K, Chris Rubesch, local road 5K, Chris Rubesch is going to be in the mix. If it's a 50-mile trail race, Chris Rubesch is going to be in the mix. If it's an NMTC trail race, Chris Rubesch is going to be in the mix. Like, you have such a range of, I think, abilities and just the different approaches that you take. How would you explain your successes in those endeavors?
Oh, wow. Well, I would say, first off, we just have an awesome running community in the area, and that always pushes people to try new venues, try new avenues, types of racing, distances, things that you might not always be comfortable with. And so I think that's really cool, and that really helps everyone in the race. When you're in a fast race, everyone tends to run a little faster, and I think that's kind of the community we have here. But I've always enjoyed just exploring new challenges, and that's why you'll see me doing things like as crazy as a road 100-miler to trail 100-milers. Yep. Just trying.
I forgot about the road 100-miler. Yeah.
Yeah. So mid race, I might have asked myself why I was doing that, but you know, it felt good to get it done.
Yeah, I almost think of you, Chris, as, like Tony mentioned, less of trail and more just like the ultra, even though, of course, you are competitive in the short stuff locally, especially, too. But I think especially something that sets you apart is your success and just willingness to sign up for a race that's brutally long road run. You know, that's kind of I know that was in the past, and we've interviewed some kind of old timers in the ultra world, and that was the norm, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, I guess, maybe even the 90s, and not so much now. It seems to be all trail ultra.
Yeah, you know, I think part of that, not only nationwide, but especially here in our community, we've seen a real explosion of just trail availability. I think about when I first came to Duluth for college in 2004, the trails pretty much shut down in the winter, you know, other than cross-country ski trails. There wasn't really a fat biking community. Snowshoe running was just kind of coming on the scene. So, you know, there just wasn't as much trail. And so I think we've seen trail running and trail ultra exploding as we've seen more availability of trails. And yeah, I do like trying new challenges, looped courses, timed races. I actually got my start in ultra events. My first ever ultra event was a 12-hour ski race. So just a kind of your typical 12 hours on the clock. Person who does as many laps, you know, the most laps as possible wins. And so that was kind of my intro into this crazy world.
How long were the laps?
It was right around 5K. It was down at the old Telemark Resort. They had individual 12 and 24 hour categories, and then they also had relays. So it was a really fun event.
Yeah, those are a good time.
Yeah.
So if, you know, we're talking about some of your the varied terrains in which and distances in which you've done, the inevitable question is, what's your favorite?
Oh, man. I think probably my favorite distance is a trail 50 mile. And it's hard to choose, but I say that because, you know, a 50 miler, you have a really good effort. It takes often the better part of a day, but with the place that I'm at with my body right now, it doesn't necessarily totally wreck me for, you know, weeks to recover. And so you just get that feeling like you've really pushed hard and done something, you know, really out of the ordinary. But doesn't take quite the training cycle to recover.
Yeah. Yep.
Should we maybe go back to the beginning, and that's how did you get started in running,
Chris? Wow. Well, way back in the day, I was in like fifth grade basketball, wasn't very good, didn't play a whole lot. And my, you know, parents were trying to help me find something that I could participate in and, you know, still have some of a team aspect, but, just provided more of an opportunity for everyone to be involved and, you know, not just have, half the team on the bench. And so found cross country running in middle school and, wasn't necessarily very great to start out, but I just loved our team and my middle school coach was awesome. I think we put a lot of focus on adult coaches or professional coaches. And those roles are really important, but our youth sports coaches have such an important role in making sure that kids get hooked on lifelong appreciation of sports and making sure that people are achieving whatever their goals are forever. You know, I hope that we can be runners until we're 80, right? And my coach, Coach Watkins, really did that. So he's one of my favorite coaches of all time because of that. So that's where I got my stuff.
Yeah, I agree with that totally. Like these sports, skiing and biking and running and swimming and, you know, they are lifelong sports where, you know, basketball really isn't. So there's a handful of adults that continue on, but, you know, that tends to fade away. Football certainly is not like a lifelong kind of sport, but these other and more kind of silent sports, endurance sports can be lifelong sports. That's so valuable.
Yeah. Yeah. So he really fostered that for me. And then I kept going in high school and I kept getting better as the distances got longer. So transitioned to college and, you know, just wanted to keep pursuing it after college. And so got to here. We're still racing and setting some goals for myself that I'm lucky enough to often be able to achieve.
And let's talk a little bit about your college days. You went to Scholastica, correct?
Yep.
And skied and ran there. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. I was actually lucky enough at the D3 level to do all three Nordic skiing, track and cross country. So I think that's a cool aspect of the D3 model as well, sort of continuing to foster that lifelong participation. And coaches were really willing to work with me and make sure that I was able to do all those sports. Whereas at a D1 or 2 level, you might not be able to have that flexibility and opportunity.
Yeah. Yep.
And did you have like a distance that you kind of fell into or for skiing? I know you said that the longer distance were better, but did you prefer, say, cross country or track? Or what kind of, especially even coming from middle school all the way, where did you find a niche?
I mean, cross country was always my favorite. I just love being outside, the fall weather, the leaves coming down. It just reminds me of, you know, putting on those spikes and getting out on a course. So that was always my favorite. Otherwise, at a track meet, I definitely liked the 10K. Not in small part because often the 10K was first, and so you got to get your race done and then have the whole rest of the meet to cheer on your teammates and watch the other races, which is kind of a cool opportunity.
Yeah. What do you think you were best at, especially in the college level doing all three? Do you think you were, you know, had a natural aptitude towards one sport or distance or another?
I definitely had the best results at cross country. track probably would have been second. Skiing, I was definitely lucky to be on St. Scholastica's ski team in the early days when the team was first being founded. You know, I was a good skier, certainly, but not to the level of the skiers that they're recruiting now. I mean, Scholastica really has had a great team, and they've been lucky enough to send skiers to nationals almost every year since they've had the team. So that was kind of a cool time period to be there and help found the team and set them on a path of having some good results.
That's super cool to be able to have that opportunity. One thing when I think about you, Chris, is you're a guy who loves to travel. And it seems like you've just been to so many places. I'm wondering two things. One, how has the current kind of COVID situation affected your travel? And two, where is the best place that you've ran?
Oh, man. So the first question, COVID, yep, that definitely affected. My wife Andrea and I were supposed to go over to Iceland. We were going to do some hiking and running on some of the glaciers and mountains over there, and that had to get scrapped. We have been exploring using our van and doing some kind of remote boondocking, traveling to some national forests, using the trails, running, but still able to keep our distance and kind of be self-contained. So that's been a relief, especially when, like you said, traveling is a big part of what we do. Just to enjoy ourselves and explore. I'm hoping that we can do a little bit of more of that, and maybe even this winter do some backcountry skiing and kind of use that as well.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Best place I've ever run, man. That's probably a real close toss up between a number of years ago, I ran rim to rim to rim at the Grand Canyon, which is just gorgeous. It's a huge challenge, awesome accomplishment. I love it down there in the Southwest. North Cascades National Park, the glaciers there, the blue skies, the glaciers. It's just incredible. Two very extremes of terrain and environment, but kind of like in my running, I like variety.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's super cool.
Yeah.
So I think you kind of mentioned, fostering a lifelong passion. And I guess I think that's such a great concept. And I think it comes up over and over in our interviews that we do is, just for a multitude of reasons why people run. And I guess I'm curious, thinking back, Chris, what was it for you that helped foster this lifelong hobby, lifelong passion? I mean, I know you mentioned your coach, but what did you like about him in those early years, and what continues to drive you now to, keep running on, say, like a daily basis,
Yeah. I think especially early on with, my case with Coach Watkins, he was really, and I know a lot of other youth coaches are, just fostering the community and the participation rather than fixing on results early on. He was really good at emphasizing that we can all set individual goals and every single one of us can achieve those goals. And I think that extends into some of the things I've read recently about how you can still accomplish things even if you don't win, how you can make sure that your results are good and that I've done everything I can to make sure that I can achieve what I wanted to, regardless of what everyone else in the field does. And I think that's one thing that really keeps me going. I can go through in a season and say, hey, I want to ride this distance. I want to, run this summit. I want to, set these goals. And all those goals are totally dependent on me. And, I can have a great season. And I think that idea that I can continue to achieve things I want to, that continues to drive me.
Chris, where did you go to high school?
I'm from Wisconsin, across the border, Spooner High School.
Nice.
Yeah.
How big of a school is that?
My graduating class was right around 115, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. So about under 500 students total in the high school. Yeah, we in Wisconsin, we have three divisions for cross country, and so we are the middle division.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, I like that idea of kind of just that ongoing personal goal, because it is just so internal. And I mean, sometimes you can blame the weather or whatever, you know, but I guess that being said, to follow up, Chris, you know, thinking back of your storied running career, and I think this will just give our listeners an insight of some of the things that you have done. We've been talking about your varied race, you know, races and stuff. I'm thinking, do any specific races or events stick out to you as like, I really crushed this goal that I had? It was a big goal. Or like your personal, say, best races.
Yeah, man. I think there are certainly races that I've been fortunate enough to win, and those are awesome. But really, some of the races that I ran the best, or that I think of as just like ones that I feel the most proud of, are ones where, like I mentioned earlier, I had a field that was really pushing me. I think of my last track race as a senior. I did the U of M last chance meet, 5K, and amazing field, all kinds of racers trying to make the national qualifying standard for NCAAs. Like, I'm not going to win that race, but they helped push me to PR. And, you know, what a great way to finish off a senior track career with a PR, with this like stellar field, you know. And I think that just gets back to, you know, if Kipchoge moves to Duluth, like, you know, I can't control that he's probably going to win every race he runs, but he's going to push us to run faster, and I can accomplish a lot of awesome things with his help, which is cool. And again, we just have a super cool running community. It's like I'm running down the road and you just see all these people you know every day, and that's cool.
Right.
Yeah, to me, Chris, that speaks to something that when I always admired about you is your humility. And perspective and respect for other people. Like we mentioned, you know, you've won some races. You're going to be competitive locally and even regionally in a lot of events, but you keep a nice perspective on it all. And super cool to win a race or perform well, but once that's all said and done, let's move on to the next thing. Let's cheer everybody else on and let's move on to the next thing and then see what we can do then and have a good time at it. It's kind of been my thought on your perspective throughout the years. Speak to that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, thanks for saying that. I'm glad that you kind of picked up on that, because I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, it's the idea that certainly, don't get me wrong, we all want to win the race, and it's really cool when you do. And I love that feeling, you know, crossing that finish line for first is awesome. But at the same time, if you don't, that doesn't mean you had a bad race. That doesn't mean that you didn't accomplish your goals. And if your only goal was to win, I think you sometimes risk. And I even struggled with this early in my ultra running career. If that was your only goal, you risk burning yourself out, because so much of your goal is dependent by who else is there and how everyone else's day went. And if you're on a day, you know, where everyone is on their A game and everyone is super trained, like everybody has the same goal. They all want to win. And I just like the idea when we can work together as a pack and push it, and everybody can take something away that they accomplished.
Yeah. I think that's an admirable trait. And because quite frankly, not everybody is ever going to be in mixes to win races. That's going to be a small percentage of any race population. But everybody can still take away positives from a race, whether you finish first or last. And to be able to recognize that you can take different positives away is so huge.
Yeah. And I think that's cool about all distance running, that at the end of the day, when you finish, you cross the finish line and you're hanging out together at the finish line or the post-race event, everybody's talking about having to deal with the same conditions. We all had to run through the rain. We all had to run through that mud. You know, how did you get through that? How'd you get through that? It's sort of that shared camaraderie, regardless of whether the race took you an hour or 5 hours. It doesn't matter. We all had to endure that.
So that's, I agree 100%. And one thing I was thinking of as you were speaking about that is that Whistle Stop would have been this coming Saturday. We're recording on Wednesday. And I was looking at the weather. The weather's looking really nice for what would have been Whistle Stop. And that's, I love the post-race setting at Whistle Stop with the four different distances. Everybody finishes in the same place. You got the big tent in case it is poor weather. Yeah. And that's what you do. You hang out and you have a beer and you chat with all your friends. And that post-race atmosphere is such a big part of it all.
Yeah, absolutely. I think of another race that I have done for many, many years now. Love the event and just that atmosphere out in the Black Hills, the Black Hills Trail Races. They have just a really good, everyone hangs out at the park and they have food and everyone hangs out and you cheer on all the racers as they come in. And it's a cool community at races like Whistle Stop or Black Hills, where there might be people you only see once or twice a year, but you remember them, you build those relationships. Hey, how's it going? Catch up. How's your summer been? Am I going to see you at another race this year? It's sort of that supporting each other from afar is really cool.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, that's another part of races and just races in general that haven't been able to go on this year with, you know, the pandemic. I'm curious if in your personal race season, how has that been affected by the pandemic, Chris?
Oh, yeah. Well, like most people, all my races were canceled. So, you know, I pivoted and did a number of solo events, which has been pretty cool. You know, obviously they're not the same, but I think it's been good to sort of refocus on what brings me to running and biking and skiing, and sort of remember that it's not all about just the race. It's not all about the finish. It's also about being out there and enjoying the change of seasons and the camaraderie and pushing myself. And in some ways it was kind of cool. One of the races that I was supposed to go out and do was in Utah in April. And when it got canceled, I planned a solo event out on my side of town out here in Smithville. Best part of town. And it was really cool to have an event that the starting gun was whenever I started my watch, and the aid stations were wherever I wanted to put the aid stations. And it was kind of cool to have my own event that I sort of designed and had total control of. And I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to be excited when races come back though.
Yeah, for sure. I think everybody will. When I can't imagine, like, you know, the first big local race that gets to kind of be like it used to be, whether it's Fickers next year or Grandma's or who knows what, but that's going to be excitement off the charts. I think
they're going to have to plan, like, whatever the post-race event like size was, they're going to have to double it, because everyone's going to want to stay longer and chat longer. And
yeah.
And that's just kind of the funny part of, like, well, you know, now there are in-person races, but you know, such a big part of the race is that post-race event. And I think that's what makes, like, NMTC talk about, you know, the local, kind of the hyper-local running community here in Duluth, and why those are so special, is because, you know, that way you really get to, like, do you live on my street? You know, you, like, meet people in your community. And, I mean, that's one of the biggest aspects of the race itself that is, I think, a high-risk factor for, you know, say that. Pandemic. So, oh gosh, yeah, just to have those mass gatherings and be it at the end of a race or anywhere else, I think that's going to be, yeah, a lot of excitement when that's back on, if they ever are.
yeah. I, you know, in my day job as a nurse, I know that there's, you know, health risks and concerns associated with some of those local events. And I just have to hand it to all the local leaders who are involved in planning those events. Those are really, really hard choices to make, especially when it's talking about something that we all love so much. And so I think the decisions that they make, I just want to give them major props for making hard decisions and, you know, stepping up to keep us safe and running again soon.
Yep, I couldn't agree more. It's a tough decision, and there's kind of no right and no wrong answer to any of them. So I think for the local race director community, Mike, yourself, The DRC people, the grandmas people, everybody else, I think they've done a great job with kind of the decisions that they've made. NMTC yep. crew.
Yeah.
So you mentioned some of the reasons why you do run, Chris, and I'm curious if you can distill it down. You know, what is the main reason why you continue to run on a daily basis? You know, and we've listed lots of reasons, and generally people have a lot of reasons. And even if you kind of categorize the reasons, you know, what's the main reason that you go out and jog every day? Is it to push your own limits? Is it for mental health? You know, what? How yeah. do you kind of sort out why?
I think if I had to distill it down to just one reason, because there are definitely a lot of things, and I think there are different things that motivate me on different days.
Right.
But the day in, the day out, like, oh man, I haven't run today. I got to go run. The main reason why I do it is definitely it's that daily touchstone. It's that daily routine and mental processing. And whether or not I do it in the morning and it sets up my day, or if I'm doing it in the evening and it helps me decompress, it just helps me keep functioning mentally, you know, as an effective, you know, partner, friend, community member. You know, I feel like all this other stuff would just build up in my mind, but running helps me process that.
Are you a streaker? Do you have a running streak?
I don't have a streak. I feel like maybe I should, but no, as part of my, I do work with a coach now still. And so as part of our training and cycling, I do have rest days, days off that are sprinkled in there. So just as part of my progression and keeping me healthy and moving forward, I don't have a full streak per se.
Yeah.
Chris, let's talk a little bit about your coach and working with the coach. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I'm work with Jason Kask at Superior Performance. And I think I can talk both him and I up and say that I was client number one. So I went to college with Jason, and he and I ran and skied together at St. Scholastica. He went on and got a master's degree in exercise physiology at the U. And basically, you know, after my college career, I knew that I still wanted to pursue some athletic goals, especially getting into some of the longer distance events. And, you know, was talking to my college coach, one of my college coaches, Chad Somala, about sort of how I get started with that. And he suggested that I talk with Jason, and he and I put our heads together, and Jason started coaching me and eventually started his coaching business and has a number of clients now in different sports. But for me, it's been awesome to have someone to help structure my training more. You know, I think as runners, like we are, we all know how to make a training plan and we could do that. But for me, having someone to add the accountability piece in has really helped. You know, I think on my own, sometimes I would maybe not do as much strength as I should because I don't always like lifting weights. Why is that? Like, you know, but it's an important supplement to training and staying healthy and building. So it's been really good to develop that relationship now with him for, you know, 10 years and have all that experience and sort of have a shorthand between us where we really know each other well and really work together well because we have that longitudinal coaching relationship.
Yeah, for sure. Such huge benefits to having the length that you guys have worked together and then, you know, the knowledge that Jason provides as well.
Yeah. You know, things from knowing if this is a race week, this is what works race week. If it's a 50 miler, this is what works for recovery after. Just having those things really dialed in, it works really well.
Not to jump around too much, but when you mentioned kind of that transition from college to you know, post-college, I guess I'm curious what was going through your mind then, and you know, you sought coaching, but like, what did you want to do? What were you still excited about? And this is kind of jumping away from the coaching conversation, so I apologize. We can go back and forth, I guess.
No, No, it's totally related. I think when I first reached out to Jason, I really had a goal of eventually getting to the 100-mile distance, and it seemed really daunting to go from, you know, when I graduated from college, I had run one marathon, I think, at that point. So to go from one marathon to going to quadruple that distance, you know, how to do that, how to do that without getting injured, how to do that without a big thing in my mind was making sure that I had the fitness and what was required to make sure I didn't just do it and say, oh, that was so horrible, I never want to do that again. I wanted to, you know, like we talked about earlier, feel like I set some goals and I accomplished them. And so it was nice to sit down with Jason and sort of map out a 3-year plan. And at that point we said, all right, we're going to start progressing up in distances. We're going to do 50 Ks. We're going to move to 50 milers. This is going to be, you know, our 2 to 3 year projection. You know, and even when I started working with him, we had, that was in 2008. At that point, we had, you know, a 4-year projection of saying, we think that we want to go to 50-mile nationals in 4 years. And we think this is where we can be. And, you know, we were able to work together and achieve a lot of those goals, which was really cool. And I was very excited to be able to see the progression and see the growth.
Right. 100-mile. I mean, that I feel like that's not the what's on most college senior runners' minds. I mean, what struck you about the 100-mile? Did you see a certain race and like, wow, that I want to do that race? Or
I mean,
did you know someone who was doing ultras at that time? Or?
So the local 100-miler superstar, maybe less so today because he's more retired, but at the time was definitely Scott Jurek. He actually went to St. Scholastica and ran cross country at St. Scholastica. So I was sort of my one degree of separation with Scott Jurek. And so definitely reading about some of his accomplishments and how he transitioned more during college for him. But I thought, yeah, I really want to do that. And throughout transitioning from high school to college, I kept getting better as the distances got longer. And I thought, you know, I think I have what it takes to do a 100-miler and do it kind of fast and do it well.
And now you finished how many 100-miler?
I believe I'm at 800 milers. I had 2 on the calendar that got canceled for this year, but I'm hoping to bring it to 10 next year.
Nice.
So, yep. And then I have a number of 50 milers and some 12-hour events and other timed events. So.
What are the races on your 2021 calendar?
Well, I, you know, going back and forth, seeing what I can try to get into, you know, a lot of race directors are making decisions of rolling people's race entries over into 2021, which I think is, you know, good and a totally fair decision. So for me, my 2021 will probably be what I had planned on trying to do for 2020. So I'm sure going to go out to, I guess I'll start locally with the Frozen 4-hour that I had the pleasure of running with Mike this winter out at Leicester. And then in April, heading out to Utah to do the A Mesa 50K. And then going out and doing the 50-miler in the Black Hills in June. And then August, going out to Lean Horse 100-miler in the Black Hills. And then probably wrapping up the season with the Hennepin 100-miler in October of this year.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, so trying to focus on a 100K PR next year would be my ultimate goal, which, man, I guess I said that publicly, so I'm on the hook now.
Yep.
Now, would that be a trail 100K PR? Because I know, and maybe you can talk about this, is doing some of the road ultras.
Yeah. So I guess there's some debate, right, with what counts as a trail. Both the Hennepin and Lean Horse races are on rails to trails trails. So they're all crushed gravel, all trail, as in non-paved, non-motorized vehicle surfaces. So in my book, that would count as a trail. I know other people would disagree, but that's kind of what I qualify as a trail. I have done some other road 100 milers. I did the Florida Keys 100 miler, which is a paved road race from Key Largo to Key West in kind of early summer in the Florida Keys. So it's hot, it's flat, it's not shaded, it's it's a lot of cars going by you. But it's quite an experience. And I think it was, for me, what drove me to go try that out was just wanting to try something different, you know, something where I had a different surface to contend with. I had different weather conditions to contend with, you know, seeing if I could deal with the heat and the sun and the pavement. And so that was, again, I like to kind of collect experiences when it comes to racing.
You've done some kind of like championship level road ultras as well. Is that correct?
I have. I guess the biggest one that I've done, I raced the 50-mile national championships a couple years back when they were at the Door County Fall 50. Yeah, so that was quite an experience. I'm actually looking at I was lucky enough to place eighth in the men's open category, so get an All-American medal from the USATF, which was pretty cool. Probably one of the high points of my post-college ultra running career.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of obscure to say top 10 in the country for road 50 miles.
Yes. I can't say that there was as much attention on that as there are like the marathon national championships or the track and field national championships, but it still has the USATF logo and it's still a USATF medal. So I'll take it.
And
hey, Chris, I was thinking, Chris, you and I have ran a national championship race, actually the snowshoe USSSA.
That's right. Yes, we have.
I totally forgot about it until you just said that. I was like, oh, yeah, we did do that. So there's another national championship under your belt, kind of.
We were on a relay team there, yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
What other sports are you into, Chris? Because I know it's not just running for you.
Yeah, so I'm a good Scandinavian kid, so I grew up cross-country skiing. And got my start in the Bill Koch Youth Ski League, of course, and then kept ski racing in high school and, like I mentioned, in college. So I do still Nordic ski more now for cross training, but less racing in that. But it's still another lifelong sport that I just love, and I do a couple times a week in the winter. I do some fat biking as well. Did my first fat bike race 2 years ago at the Fat Bike Turkey, which was an awesome event. And then have gotten into more AT touring skiing as well. So skinning up and downhill skiing down. Definitely have enjoyed doing that out here at Spirit and definitely some of the resorts out west that allow that as well. So stay active all year round like most Duluthians.
Yeah. Could you see yourself doing this ski mountaineering racing, getting into that at all? I mean, I got to assume it's pretty hard to train well for that in Duluth, but I know that's like huge in Europe, right? And a lot of ultra runners kind of flip-flop their seasons between that, right?
Yeah, you're totally right. It's like Kilian Jornet, he got his start and, you know, was definitely more famous emo racing than he was ultra running initially. A lot of Europeans do it, and a lot of American ultra runners have gotten more into it. It's something that keeps you healthy and keeps you motivated and fit during the winter. I definitely would like to explore doing that more. There's some cool marathon distance, 50K distance ski-mo races out in like the Crested Butte area of Colorado. That'd be awesome. I was actually just looking at some new skis online today that are like race weight. I could maybe dabble with that. you know, but for people in the Midwest, I think our related activity would be cross country skiing. You know, we don't have the mountains quite as big as they do out west. And so ultra runners out there could do ski mowing, but it would be equally beneficial for runners here to do cross country skiing. Do some lower impact but high cardio, high strength training in the winter. And I think for me, that always leaves me feeling really fresh in the spring. It leaves me feeling really strong. When we get on the hills and the trails and you're dodging the roots and rocks, my legs always feel just really ready for that.
Right. I'm kind of curious, you know, talking about your 2021 goals, Chris, and having done some kind of personal solo pursuits in light of the pandemic. I mean, how do you feel about that moving forward? Are you ready to just go right back to races? Did you enjoy kind of doing some of these different challenges in place of a race, or forget that, you know, coming back to the races?
No, I think I definitely enjoyed doing them in place of races. I don't know that I would ever voluntarily go a whole season without racing again if we didn't have to. Right. But, but I think mixing those in for a season really works, especially with, you know, we all know how busy our lives get, families, jobs, other commitments. So if there's a distance you want to do and a time frame that works for you, once or twice a year doing a solo event, that could be a good replacement. And, you know, if you work in by yourself or with a coach, you can build your training plan around that. You can set a goal and, you know, maybe even get your friends to come out and cheer you on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's definitely multiple ways to go about it and find some satisfaction, even if there is a lack of races, which is unfortunate, but try to make lemonade out of the lemons.
Yeah, I think your mind is definitely going where mine is going, Tony, in that it's definitely showed me that in the future, if there's ever a reason, like I said, life is busy and I can't fit a race in, I can't travel to a race because I can't take a whole weekend off. I think a couple times a year, solo events and challenging mm-hmm. yourself like that totally is satisfying and can work, at least for me.
Yep.
And how have you factored that into your training plan, which, you know, I just know from being friends with you, Chris, that you're a fairly regimented guy. And I know that comes with working with a coach. And can you touch on that a little bit?
Yeah. So, I mean, I am kind of regimented. I do like some structure. I also think it works for me because I do stay pretty busy in my outside running life. And so it just helps to kind of know where my week is going, to know what days I have time to do a longer run, what days am I busy. And so my run, you know, my long run day isn't going to work on Saturday this week because I'm a nurse. I work weekends and, you know, this coming weekend, I work this weekend. So I know I'm going to have to do my long run on Thursday. And it just, that structure helps me make sure that I don't get to the end of the day. Oh, shoot, I didn't get my long run in, you know, having a little roadmap. Making sure that you met your weekly goals, met your daily goals, accomplished what you wanted out of the week. And it just helps balance everything with the rest of your life. As much as I want to think that we're all going to do this as the only thing we do in our lives, none of us are professionals. I wish I'd get paid to run, but that's not happening.
So let's talk about, we talked about some 2021 goals and the race calendar that you have. How about long term? What's the next 10 to 20 years look like for Chris?
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, I want to stay healthy and keep running. If I had to make a deal with the devil, I would much rather stay running for the rest of my life than ever be fast or win a race or PR. Right. Because I mean, that's why we're here. And that's why we do it day in and day out. So staying healthy is number one goal. Number two, I definitely have some bucket list races I still want to get to. I have not had much luck with the Western States Lottery. So I probably I have to say that one.
Yeah.
I'd like to do a couple other faster 1500 mile races. I'd like to get out and try like a JFK. Yeah. A Rocky Raccoon, you know, a Javelina, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think as you get out farther away from the 5 years towards the 10 years, I think I'd like to try starting to get into more of the real high mountain, real rugged kind of races. I know that we all age and that's something that I am going to have to accept. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think that our sport in terms of ultra running is really naturally aligned with that because there are races that people who have a lot more experience still do really, really well at. You've got some really local tough guys who are out there still picking out some awesome race performances at places like, you know, Wasatch or, you know, some of those really hard, the Bear, you know, things like that. So I think 10 years from now, I'll probably be gravitating towards some of the more really hard mountain extreme races.
You're looking forward to that old man strength.
There you go. There you go. I just, I think that's one thing that keeps me in ultra running, that it's like, you can continue to achieve these goals and have some really good performances well into your 50s. You know, you've got local folks, John Horns, John Moss, you know, that are others that of course my mind are blanking on that are just like a beast, you know?
Yeah.
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 Versus 5K, you know, every year that goes by, it's hard to get back to that 5K speed, you know.
When I look back at my 5K college times, I'm like, wow, that's wow. I'm not going to touch that again.
Yeah, yeah. You need to be about ages 17 to 25 for that.
Yep, pretty much. Pretty much. You know, but that's just another example of how there's distances and goals and races for everybody.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that's cool that you try and touch on all of them. I mean, in a given year, you're doing races from, you know, what, 5K to 100, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's what it's all about. It's really cool to see, and obviously you're a very versatile runner.
Yeah, thanks. I think it also, that's part of our training plan that, you know, Jason and I have worked up. And, you know, my training, even when I am working on a 50 or 100 mile PR attempt, we're still doing mile repeats. We're still doing some, you know, threshold at high intensity because you need that within your quiver too. You know, if you think of it as like a quiver full of arrows, you need to have that at certain points of the race. You have to be able to push your threshold, push your heart rate as you're going up the hill. At mile 70 of a 100 miler, that might not look like dropping a 5 minute mile, but it feels like it. and to your body, there's no difference because your heart rate's still climbing and you still have to be able to push it, take your heart rate high, deal with that lactic acid, process it out, and keep going.
Right.
Is there, I have one last question here. Is there, and I'm guessing on the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Okay.
How much nervousness still occurs on the start line for you?
Oh, there. I mean, there's still nervousness for sure. You know, yeah. I mean, definitely not as much as there used to be. But I think any time that you put in this much time and effort and you set yourself goals, whatever those goals may be, it's normal to have a little bit of nervous energy. And I think for every runner, no matter what your goal is, channeling that nervous energy into helping you achieve your goal is part of the key of success. And think of it like your little extra speed boost that your body's giving you. You know, it's a little extra energy to make sure that you achieve what you've put all that training in to do.
Right.
There's a great quote that I hear athletes mention a lot of times. It's pressure is a privilege. Mm. And just to be able to be in those situations that might be a pressure-filled situation is really kind of a, like they say, a privilege to be in that situation in the first place. So might as well use it to your advantage.
Very well said. Very well said.
Yeah. Mike, you have anything else?
I don't think I have any other questions, Chris. Tony, anything else?
I don't, I mean, I probably, yeah, I definitely could chat for another hour or two for sure.
Yeah,
Chris, do you have anything you'd like to mention?
Not that comes to mind, but man, yeah, it's fun just chatting with you two. This, the time went by super fast. I, definitely hope that I get a chance to run into you two out on the trails or the roads again soon.
Yeah, I'm back in the day, Chris, we used to run together a lot. I actually saw you and Adam and Eric running just north of Leicester, maybe about a month ago. You guys are kind of a ways down the road. I'm like, oh, I know those three guys, but
nice.
Yeah. But, it's been a long time since we ran together, so hopefully we can get a chance to do that pretty soon.
Oh, I'd love it. Yeah, that'd be great.
Definitely.
All right. Well, thanks, Chris, for joining us. And, yeah, hopefully we'll see you out there.
Yeah, thanks for thinking of me. It's been real fun to join you.
Thanks.
Yep. All right, and that will wrap up episode number 27 of TDR. Mike, thank you for joining us.
Very welcome.
Big shout out to Chris for joining us as well. Always fun to hear from him. I haven't talked to Chris in a long time, so it was good to catch up with him a little bit. Hopefully the listeners enjoyed that as well. Mike, what do you have coming up now in the next weekish or so?
I'm going to try and do some jogging, some light jogging, and definitely just enjoy the beautiful week ahead. So, yeah, I implore all of our listeners to get out and go for a run today, tomorrow, and the rest of this week.
Yeah, we will see you all out there.